that God has done for us. And here we have in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, verse 3, this understanding that we have been given faith, or we have faith when we realize and have the understanding that we needed, or a creator exists, and that creator is God. Very simple. If we go through that book a little bit further, that chapter a little bit more, we see, as it calls it, you know, the faith. It's not memorial, but it's the hall of fame of those who have faith. Can you think of somebody who has a lot of faith? It's in verse 5 of Hebrews 11. Enoch had faith, and by his faith he pleased God. In verse 11 of Hebrews 11, Sarah. What kind of faith did she have? Why would her faith be so important? She had a son. His name was Isaac. And that son was promised to Abraham. And Abraham, out of faith, he was told, move. Move from Ur to Canaan. You and your family and your livestock, just pick up everybody and go. And I want you to go there, God says, because I have a promise that needs to be fulfilled. It's in Genesis 12. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Great promise. But first you got to move. And you got to move to a place you've never been to before. And there won't be any real estate agents there helping you to find a home. Okay, when you get there, you have to settle your family and believe that this promise is going to be fulfilled. And Abraham, out of faith, picked up his family and his livestock and children and moved to a place he'd never seen, never been to before in his life. I don't know if you've done a lot of moves or not. My wife and I have moved a lot, but every time we moved, we knew where we were going. We had visited it very quickly first. We were able to find a place to live. We had a moving company to help us. And we knew that when we got there, what it was going to be like. Abraham had none of that. Out of faith, he moved. And out of faith, he's blessed. Out of faith, he had a son. Out of faith, he was willing to sacrifice his son, knowing that God would provide, which he did, so that Isaac would be continuing to be the father of many nations thereafter. Noah is a person of faith. Imagine having to build an ark, because God tells you, guess what? There's going to be this great flood. It's not next week, by the way. It's going to be in a few years. But over the next few years, I want you to build this gigantic boat. It's a ship. No, you're going to have every animal in there that you can think of. And birds and everything else. Snakes and ants and insects and bugs. And you got to build this thing. And while you're building it, guess what? People are going to come up to you and say, you're crazy. What are you doing? What are you doing? This and Noah says, well, it's because God's not too happy with you guys, and there's a lot of sin, and I've been told that if I don't build this boat, you know, the whole world is going to get wiped out, and everybody's going, yeah, sure. Okay, and he had to put up with this for years, and he did, you know. And I know I'm simplifying the story, and I'm trying to make a little light of it, but the reality is Noah had faith. Noah had faith. So did Abraham. Anybody else that you can think of who had faith? Anybody else? Moses? How about Paul? How about some of our current people that you know of? Billy Graham, Ray Steadman, Warren Wisby, John MacArthur, Alex Bedig, all these people are men of faith. All of them are men of faith. And not just men. Billy Graham's daughter wrote a book. Amazing. Right? All of these people are people of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, there's a statement here that says, and without faith, guess what? It's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must do what? Must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What do you believe? What do you believe? Because it says here, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists. And when you know that God exists, that in itself leads to much more. He says, then he will reward those who earnestly seek him. What reward do you think we receive by believing in Jesus Christ and believing in God? What's our reward? Eternal life. Eternal life. The word faith and the word believe are inextricably linked to each other and in many, many ways mean exactly the same thing. There's another word that is similar. And we use that word sometimes once a month. It's called a creed. Do you know what a creed is? A creed is what a person believes. The word creed actually comes from the Latin word credo. And from that word credo, it means to believe, to trust, to endure. It is a person who can say, these are my fundamental beliefs. Now, we all know and we say the Apostles' Creed once a month and when we take the Lord's table, but there's actually many creeds. There's actually four basic ones. The very first one is the one we recite called the Apostles' Creed, and it was written sometime between 120 and 250 A.D., It was, what do the apostles believe? And we say, when we say it, we believe the same thing that they believed at that time. In 325 AD, the ecumenical or the Roman church then modified it at the Council of Nicaea. And then again, they modified it again in 381. We don't say that creed. Okay, we say the creed, the Apostles' Creed. Creed. Interesting word, right? So I went to the internet and I looked up creed. What do you think was the first thing that came up when I put in the word creed into Google?
Belief.
What?
Belief.
No, that wasn't it. This is why this is so crazy.
The Apostles' Creed.
Nope. We're getting close. Creed. I bet you Jay Lynn and Simon know. Do you know? Creed? What are they? They're a band. There is a band named Creed. Okay? And you know what's next that comes up? A movie by the name of Creed. And it's violent. All right? So then I thought, oh man, where else do I find this? You know, how do I get a good definition of creed? So I ended up going and finding a place where some people had put in their own creeds, the things that they believe. One guy wrote, he says, even though I'm currently 67 years old, I have a three-word creed that I've used most of my life. He says, I got it from a priest named Reverend Father Jim Mifsud. And my creed is, never give up. Okay, that's fine. But never give up what, you know? But he lived by this. And interestingly enough, and we read just now in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says never give up. But he just didn't flesh that out too much. The next guy I read, he says, and this was his personal creed, says, I believe in logic, science, and reason. I do not believe in God, an afterlife, heaven, hell, spirits, ghosts, or anything which cannot be scientifically demonstrated. He says, but I do believe that we are not to bring harm to others. He believes in the golden rule. You know, do unto others as you would expect to be done to yourself. So it's interesting. He will love his neighbor, but he won't love God. That's his creed. That's basically when you read this. All right? I will love my neighbor, or at least he thinks he will, and but he won't. No, God's not in the picture. So he's got half of it right. Not really, huh? This, unfortunately, is a creed that many, what good people will say. I'm a good person. That's my creed. I don't want any harm to anybody else. Do unto others that you have do unto yourself. But keep God out of the picture. That's my creed. Right? There's the others. There are those who say they believe in God and they don't love their neighbor. But that's for a totally different situation. I found a creed, though. It was not on the internet. It's in a book. I've mentioned it before. The name of the book is The Disciplines of the Christian Life. And that book was written by Eric Liddell. I don't know if you remember. I've mentioned Eric's name before. Eric Liddell is the person who we saw the movie Chariots of Fire. He is the person who refused to run and would have won a gold medal, but he refused to run in a race because it was on a Sunday, right? And he became a missionary. He went to China. He ended up in an internment camp in Japan and died there. He had a wife and children who actually he sent back to Canada before he died. And he's written an amazing book, which if you ever have a chance, you can follow month to month and day by day, this book called The Disciplines of the Christian Life. And at the beginning of this book, he gives us his creed. All right, and I'm going to go through that with you now, state by state. And you don't need to write this down because it's quite a bit of information. So I do have, if you want, after services, his creed written up here. Okay, and I'll hand it out. So he starts off his creed with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator, infinitely holy and loving, who has a plan for the world, a plan for my life, and some daily work for me to do. That's how he starts off his creed. I believe in God the Father, who has a plan. What's his plan? His plan is the plan is for us to have eternal life and be in the kingdom. All right? And daily work for me to do. What's our daily work? If we have daily work, our daily work is to make people aware of who God is, to be witnesses to those who are around us, right? Then he says, I believe in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, as example, Lord, and Savior. I think it's interesting that he used the word here that Jesus Christ is his example. Because what does Jesus Christ ask us to do? He says, follow me, right? Follow my example. Follow what I believe. I've come here to save you. All right? So he says, I believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, as example, Lord. So we know he's in control of everything. And Savior. He's my personal Savior. And then he goes on to, I believe in the Holy Spirit, who is able to guide my life so that I may know God's will, and I am prepared to allow him to guide and control my life. That's interesting. You're saying, when you believe, as Eric writes here, if you take on his creed, if you take on his belief, his faith, is that you're saying, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. Please guide me, control me, and show me God's will so I can do it. And then he goes on and he says, I believe in God's law. I believe in God's law that I should love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind and with all my strength and my neighbor as myself. Right? I believe in the law of God, the law of love, law of loving God who loves us and loving each other. And then he summarizes, he says, I believe it's God's will that the whole world should be without barriers of any race, color, class, or anything else that breaks the spirit of fellowship. He believes in unity and justice, right? That there is no delineation based on what he writes here, race, color, class, or anything else that breaks up the spirit of fellowship. And then he defines, to believe means to believe with the mind and the heart, to accept and to act accordingly on that basis. So that's what he wrote. He sat down, he obviously after many years and that and his experiences, that was his creed. It's very complex, it's very complete, it's very deep. And I'm sure there is scripture that we could find if we had time for every one of the points that he makes in his creed. And as I said, if you want a copy of this, I have it. But here's the question for the day. The question is, what is your creed? What do you believe? Do you believe just the Apostles' Creed? Do you believe everything that Eric Liddell wrote? What are some of the things that you would write? If you took a couple of hours one morning after some prayer and say, God, help me to write my creed. What do I believe? How am I going to live my life? What is the action I will take based on my creed? What is my faith? What do I believe? What would you write? Each person's should be personal. Each one I'm suggesting, if you take the time, is to do it and to think about, okay, what do I really believe? It's easy to say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the resurrection. But what do you believe? Do you make it your way of life? Is it your faith? I'll give you some suggestions about what should or does your creed include. What would you write? Would you take Eric's and just add some of the things to it? How about, do you believe in God's promises? Do you believe that of all the promises that are in God's word, do you believe in those? Do you believe in God's love? Do you really believe in his forgiveness? You know, we're told we are forgiven. Sometimes Satan tries to sort of niggle at us and say, well, yeah, you're forgiven, but I'm going to keep reminding you and reminding you and reminding you. No, you should believe that you are forgiven. That should be part of our creed. Do you believe in answered prayer? I believe in answered prayer. I've seen it happen. And so have many of you. I know there are people in this room right now who have had answered prayer. It should be part of our creed. Do you believe in the guidance of the Holy Spirit? That you can, on your knees at the beginning of the day, say, God, I surrender myself to you today. Holy Spirit, lead me. You believe in that? Do you believe in the kingdom? We all talk about the kingdom. Yeah. But we, oh yeah, that's happening, you know, some other time. But I got to deal with today. No, do you believe in the kingdom to come? Jesus Christ did. He preached it. When he came to this earth, he came to preach the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, he said, I have come to preach the kingdom of God. So if you're going to follow Christ, follow what he preaches, right? Do you believe in God's word? Is it pure authority, unchallengeable? Do you believe in God's word? There's two other things about belief and faith that should be in our creeds. Do you believe in salvation? We talk about it a lot, but do you really believe in salvation? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." Amen. That should be part of our creed. I believe in salvation. I believe in salvation thanks to Jesus Christ. Not that he died on the cross, but not only did he die, but he was resurrected. He was raised up. That's part of the belief. And as a result, we can be saved. And then I believe, and I'll put, this is for me personally, but I would hope others would add it to their creed as well. I believe in God's grace. I believe in God's grace. Because without grace, you can't be saved. I believe in God's grace. I think it's the most important part of a creed, because without grace, all this other stuff is meaningless. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." So what is your creed? Spend the time. What do you really believe? What do you believe? Is grace and salvation and Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit and the kingdom part of your creed? Is part of your creed, your way of life, to follow Christ and all that that means? Great God, we thank you for the unmerited favor of your love. It is because of the faith that you have created in each and every one of us that, yes, we've been saved. We've been set apart to do your work and to receive your grace. Through Christ, we have received grace upon grace. Father, we know that sometimes we miss the mark and we fall short of your will. But thank you for the grace you lavish on us. And when we falter in our faith, we ask that you strengthen our faith. Help us to confirm and to act on what we believe, to live what we believe, to live with Christ in us. We ask you, great God, we praise you, God. We praise you for your grace upon grace in Jesus' name. Amen.